Have you ever, like thought about how far a state can actually go when they're trying to like take on something as huge as climate change? Like, where's that line? Where do they hit the Constitution?
Right.
Well, today we're doing a deep dive into Rocky Mountain Farmers Union v. Corey.
Okay.
It's a Ninth Circuit case, and it's honestly like a masterclass for any future lawyer who wants to know about this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, this case really gets at like the heart of environmental policy, right?
Yeah.
At that leading edge where it bumps right up against, our whole economic structure.
Yeah.
The Dormant Commerce Clause.
Exactly.
We're looking specifically at California's low carbon fuel standard,
Right, the
the
LCFS.
LCFS, exactly. And we've got some great stuff to dig into to like really help us understand this. A detailed case brief, a standard legal brief, and even some pretty insightful analysis of the whole thing.
For anyone who's tuning in, our mission today is to break down all the legal stuff
Okay.
and understand like the core principles. We're going to look at the court's reasoning, why they decided, what they decided,
Yeah.
where people disagreed, and why this case is so important for
Nice.
environmental law, but also, for interstate commerce,
The flow of
the
goods.
flow of goods. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's unpack this. California's LCFS.
Right.
What's the deal? How'd they even come up with this regulation?
So back in 2006, California passed the Global Warming Solutions Act.
Okay.
It's a big law, really sweeping piece of legislation. And it was all about, really seriously cutting down greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
And a key part of that was the low carbon fuel standard.
Okay.
Also in 2006,
Okay.
the basic idea behind the LCFS is to make fuel producers reduce the carbon intensity of the transportation fuels they sell in California.
Okay, so carbon intensity.
Yeah.
That seems like the most important thing they're measuring here.
Right.
So how do they measure that? What's that all about?
It's what's called a life cycle analysis. Basically, it's like a carbon audit for the fuel. It takes into account all the greenhouse gas emissions that come from the fuel
Okay.
from start to finish,
Okay.
from when it's first extracted or grown,
Right.
then processed, transported, all the way to when it's burned in a vehicle.
Okay.
It's what they call well to wheel.
Well to wheel. I like that.
Yeah, it's catchy. So, like for ethanol, this would mean looking at emissions from things like farming practices, how they grow the corn, the energy they use in the ethanol plants,
Yeah, okay.
and what it takes to move the ethanol to California.
So it's not just about emissions in California, it's the whole carbon footprint.
The whole picture,
Yeah.
wherever it comes from.
Okay, so who had a problem with this? Who pushed back?
Okay.
Yeah.
So a bunch of out-of-state ethanol producers and oil companies sued.
Okay.
They said the LCFS violated the Dormant Commerce Clause. They had two main points. First, they said that the LCFS discriminated against fuels that were produced outside of California. And second, they said that it was an overreach, that it was regulating things that happened completely outside of California's control.
So it sounds like it was overstepping its bounds.
That was their argument.
And I think I remember that the district court actually agreed with those producers.
You're right. The district court sided with the plaintiffs. They said the LCFS was discriminating against out-of-state ethanol and crude oil,
Okay.
and that it was overreaching, trying to regulate things in other states.
Okay.
But that wasn't the end of it.
Okay, so what happened?
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals stepped in, and they reversed that decision.
Wow. Okay, so that's a big turn.
It is, yeah. It's where things get interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into it. That first issue about facial discrimination.
Yeah.
Now, for people listening who aren't lawyers,
Right.
what does facial discrimination even mean?
Okay, so under the Dormant Commerce Clause, facial discrimination is when a state law on its face, just by reading it, says that interstate commerce is treated worse than interstate commerce.
Okay.
It's discrimination that's right there in the law,
Right there in the law.
plain as day. The law itself says in-state good or actor, you're good. Out-of-state good or actor, no, you're not good.
Okay.
Purely because of where they come from.
Based on their origin. Got it.
Yeah.
So, did the Ninth Circuit say that the LCFS did that?
Right.
Did they say it favored California stuff over stuff from other states?
No, they didn't. The Ninth Circuit said that the LCFS is based on scientific data,
Okay.
the carbon intensity scores.
Right, from that life cycle analysis.
Exactly. Remember we talked
Yeah,
about that?
overall picture, yeah.
Right. The court really stressed that those scores come from the total carbon footprint of the fuel, not where it's from.
Okay.
The rule doesn't say fuel from California gets a lower score.
Right, it's based on the
The
science.
science, yeah.
Okay, I get it, but can you give me an example, something to really illustrate this?
Sure. Okay. Imagine you have an ethanol plant in the Midwest.
Okay.
It uses a lot of coal power for its energy.
Okay.
That ethanol would probably get a higher carbon intensity score because coal power creates a lot of emissions.
Right. High carbon footprint.
Exactly. Now imagine an ethanol producer in California using the same kind of high carbon methods.
Okay.
Maybe old technology, something less efficient.
Yeah.
Their ethanol would get the same score.
Hmm.
The regulation isn't saying Midwest ethanol is bad.
Yeah.
It's saying high carbon intensity ethanol is bad.
Okay.
No matter where it's from.
I see, I see. But there was a dissent, right?
Right.
I remember there was a judge who didn't agree.
Yeah. Judge Merguia wrote a dissent.
Okay.
And she had a really important point.
What was that?
She was concerned about these regional default pathways.
Regional default pathways. Okay, what are those?
Basically, they're like preset carbon intensity scores.
Okay.
California made them for certain kinds of fuels
yeah.
based on where they were usually produced.
Hmm.
So Judge Murgia's point was that even though the LCFS didn't literally say Midwest ethanol is bad, those defaults kind of did penalize it.
Okay.
Because it assumed a higher carbon footprint based on the energy used in that region.
Okay, so like if a region uses more coal power,
right.
California just assumes their ethanol is going to be dirtier?
Exactly. So even though the law looked neutral on paper,
right.
in practice, it was discriminatory.
Yeah, I see. I see. Okay, let's move on to the second big issue.
Okay.
Extraterritorial regulation.
Right.
What's the problem if a state tries to control things happening outside of its own borders?
Okay, so the basic idea here is that the Dormant Commerce Clause says states can't make laws that try to control what happens in other states.
Okay, so that makes sense. I mean, it would get really messy if every state was doing that, right?
Exactly. It's about preventing a free-for-all.
Yeah.
One state can't tell another state what to do. Otherwise, you get conflicting laws, burdens on businesses,
yeah.
and it just messes up the national economy.
Okay.
Keeps things flowing smoothly.
Right. So did the Ninth Circuit say the LCFS was doing that? Was it overreaching?
So they actually said it wasn't.
Okay.
They said the LCFS wasn't an example of extraterritorial regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And their reason was that California was ultimately regulating the sale of the fuel in California.
Okay.
They said, yeah, okay. The LCFS looks at production emissions outside of California.
Right.
With that whole life cycle analysis thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's okay because it's how California addresses problems inside California that are caused by things happening outside of California.
Okay. So they're looking at the whole picture, but they're only regulating what happens in California.
Right.
And what case did they use to back this up?
They used Pike v. Bruce Church.
Okay.
It's a Supreme Court case.
Okay. So they're saying California can't tell an Iowa farmer how to grow corn, but they can look at the emissions from that corn when it becomes ethanol and is sold in California.
That's exactly it. The court was very clear on this point.
Hmm.
California isn't dictating how other states produce fuel.
Right.
What they are doing is setting a standard for the fuel that's sold in California.
Okay.
A carbon footprint limit.
Okay.
And by considering the whole life cycle, they're trying to reduce the overall impact of the fuels people are using in California.
Mm.
And they're doing it by regulating the point of sale, which is in California.
Okay, so it's a subtle difference.
Right.
But it's super important legally.
It is, yeah, yeah.
Now, wasn't there also something about out-of-state crude oil?
Right.
They were saying the LCFS discriminated against that, too.
Yeah, so the Ninth Circuit said they didn't see enough evidence of that.
Okay.
Not in the 2011 provisions anyway.
Okay.
The ones that were being challenged.
Okay.
They said all crude oil was treated the same.
Hmm.
Didn't matter if it came from Texas, Alaska, even California.
Okay. So we've covered the main legal arguments.
Right.
Now let's talk about what framework the court used.
Okay.
You mentioned Pike v. Bruce Church.
Yeah.
What are the tests that courts use in these dormant Commerce Clause cases?
Okay. So usually there are different levels of scrutiny depending on the state law.
Okay.
If the state law is seen as discriminatory on its face.
Right.
Against interstate commerce.
Okay.
Then it gets strict scrutiny.
Hmm.
That's the toughest standard.
Okay.
It's really hard for a law to pass that test.
Yeah.
Usually those laws are struck down unless the state can prove they have a really, really good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other way to do it.
Okay.
No other way that's less discriminatory.
But the Ninth Circuit didn't use that in this case, right?
Right. They didn't.
Because they said the law wasn't discriminatory on its face.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they used the Pike v. Bruce Church balancing test.
Okay.
This test is for laws that aren't discriminatory on their face,
right,
but still affect interstate commerce.
Okay.
It basically weighs the burden the law puts on interstate commerce against the benefits it's supposed to have locally.
Okay.
If the burden on commerce is way bigger than the local benefits, then the law gets struck down.
So it's like a scale.
Yeah.
The court's weighing the state's interests
right.
against the impact on the national economy.
Exactly.
And they're more likely to get rid of the law if it's a really big burden.
Right.
And didn't they send this case back down to the district court?
They did, yeah.
To apply this Pike test?
Yeah, the Ninth Circuit reversed the lower court's decision on facial discrimination.
Okay.
They said go back and look at it again, this time using the Pike balancing test.
So the district court has to weigh the environmental benefits of the LCFS
right.
against the potential burdens on interstate commerce.
That's right.
Okay, so let's talk about Judge Merguia's dissent again.
Okay.
She seemed worried about the big picture implications of the ruling.
She was, yeah.
What was she concerned about?
Well, she was worried that if states can regulate based on how things are produced in other states, even if it's for environmental reasons,
okay,
it could lead to a real mess of regulations.
Mm.
Every state doing its own thing.
Yeah.
She said it could really hurt the free flow of goods.
Right. And undermine the idea of a single national market.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like states were overstepping their boundaries.
Right.
Trying to control what's happening in other states.
And she also said that California should have had to prove
yeah.
that there wasn't a better way to achieve their goals.
Right. She said because the LCFS was basically discriminatory with those regional default pathways.
Right, right.
California should have been held to a higher standard.
Okay.
The strict scrutiny standard.
Right.
That means they'd have to show there was no other reasonable way to reduce emissions without discriminating.
Okay.
And that's something the majority opinion avoided.
They didn't make them prove that. But the majority did have a strong argument, right?
They did.
About the need to address climate change.
Right.
And that states should be able to try new things.
That's right.
So what did they say?
They basically said climate change requires innovation.
Hmm.
And they even quoted some Supreme Court cases that encourage California to be a leader, to try new things, to find solutions to lower emissions.
So it sounds like they were saying that climate change is so serious
right.
that states should have some leeway to try new regulations,
yeah.
even if it affects interstate commerce.
Exactly.
Okay, so this has been a really interesting deep dive,
mm-hmm.
a lot to think about.
Yeah.
What are the key takeaways from Rocky Mountain Farmers Union v. Corey?
Right.
What should our listeners, especially law students, really understand about this case?
Okay, so first, states can regulate their own markets by looking at how things are produced in other states.
Okay.
Especially if the regulations are about protecting their state, like from air pollution or climate change.
Second, for a law to be called discriminatory under the Dormant Commerce Clause,
right.
it usually has to say right there in the text that it's treating things differently based on where they come from.
Okay.
Rules that use neutral criteria, like a carbon intensity score, are less likely to be seen as discriminatory.
Okay.
And as we've seen, the level of scrutiny matters a lot.
Right. That changes everything.
Yeah, it does. If a law isn't clearly protectionist or it doesn't say it's discriminating based on origin, then it's probably going to be judged with the Pike test.
Right.
Which is more lenient.
Okay.
So environmental laws that just happen to affect interstate commerce have a better chance of being upheld
right.
as long as their local benefits are bigger than the burden they put on the national economy.
Okay. So to recap, we've gone through the Ninth Circuit's decision in Rocky Mountain Farmers Union v. Corey.
Right.
We've talked about their reasoning on why California's low carbon fuel standard wasn't discrimination or an overreach.
Right. We've talked about the Pike test and how important that is going forward.
Exactly.
We also looked at the dissent and some of the nuances there.
Right.
So this case is really about balancing.
It is.
A state's right to protect its environment.
Right.
And the Constitution's guarantee of a free and open national market.
It's a classic tension in our system.
Yeah. And for anyone out there studying law, this is a case you should really know.
Definitely.
It shows you how courts think about these issues.
Yeah.
It makes you think about the differences between facial discrimination and discriminatory impact, the limits on states regulating things outside their borders, and those different levels of scrutiny.
Important stuff.
It really shows you how complex our federal system is.
It does.
Especially when states are dealing with big issues like climate change.
Yeah.
So here's a question for everyone to think about.
Okay.
As we see more and more lawsuits about climate change, how will the ideas in Rocky Mountain Farmers Union v. Cory shape how those cases are decided?
Hmm, that's a good question.
How will they affect the balance between a state's right to protect its environment
right.
and the need for a unified national market?
Yeah, a lot to consider there.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, this is great.